Well, it's very good singing. There's very good food. I'd like to thank all the believers in O'Leary for putting on the supper for us. It's very nice. Now, there's a lot of effort that was put into all of this, but perhaps the hardest thing to do is to keep people awake with turkey in their belly. So I'm going to be relatively short with a message from the Bible. But before I read the Bible, we'll pray together. Our Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus. We are thankful that he came to Bethlehem, that he went to Calvary, and that he's now risen again from the dead. We are thankful, Father, that the message of the gospel includes all of these things. And we're thankful tonight that the message of the gospel is still about a God who loves sinners and gave his son. Give us help now to think about the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, the verse that's behind me is going to be the text for my message this evening, but I'm going to read a little bit more of that passage from Luke's Gospel in chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse number 3, "And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city." Now, that statement is not the idea that we have of taxing today. What was going on was there was a census that was taking place, and in order to keep the census accurate, everybody went back to the city of their descent, so the city of their fathers. So Joseph was going back to the city of Bethlehem because he was a descendant of David. Verse 4. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. David was mentioning, while he was singing those hymns with us, about the different appearings of angels in the life of the Lord Jesus or surrounding his birth. I would take it that there are at least four different times when angels appeared in the early part of the Gospels. The first time was to Zechariah when he was in the temple in Luke's Gospel chapter 1. And he announced the conception of John the Baptist. The second time would be earlier in Luke's Gospel here, where we have the angel appearing to Mary and telling her about the circumstances of the conception of the Lord Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then if you go to Matthew's gospel, angels appeared to Joseph. Because after Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant with a child, he was minded, we were told, to put her away or to divorce her. But the angel comes and explains to Joseph, that which is begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit. So those three appearances of angels to announce and to explain the details of the coming Christ. But now he's come. And after he comes into the world, the angels appear again. They appear with an announcement. That's what we were singing, wasn't it? The herald angels. I used to think that was the name of one of the angels. Harold was one of them. But that's not true. the herald angels are the ones who are heralding forth a message. They are preaching. They are telling a message of good news. What was it? Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'm not sure if many people knew that they needed a Savior in that day. If you go to Matthew's gospel, you will find many different names that were connected with the Lord Jesus when he came into the world. He was going to be called the son of Abraham. He was going to be called the son of David. He was going to be called the son of the highest. He was going to be called the son of God. And he was going to be called Emmanuel. We were singing about that too, weren't we? Which means God with us. He was going to be called all of those things. So why is it that when the heralds, the preaching angels, come and announce that the Lord Jesus has been born, why is it that they use this term Savior? They could have said, unto you was born this day in the city of David, the Son of God. They would have been right, because according to the Bible, he is the Son of God. They could have said, unto you is born this day in the city of David, the best man that will ever live. And they would have been right. They would have been accurate. He was the best man to ever live. They could have said, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a unique man, someone who will stand out from everyone else in his holiness and in his love and in his grace and kindness. And they would have been right. But the announcement from God to these men was, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, a Savior. But what does that even mean? I'm going to skip through a lot of things here, but what does that even mean? A Savior. Well, we're familiar with the idea of rescue, aren't we? Someone needing to be rescued from something. I often think about a person who can't swim, right? And I'm not sure if you've ever been to one of those pools where they start off about waist deep, and you walk out a little further, and then it's up to your, over your belly, and it's up, and then next thing you know, you're in the deep end, right? You have to picture with me now someone who can't swim who begins in the shallow end and tiptoes until they find out that they can't touch the bottom. And a person who's in the deep end who can't touch the bottom begins to panic. And a panicking person who can't swim needs someone to teach them to swim, right? That's what they need. I mean, let's just stop. You press pause, and you come down, and you talk to them and say, here's how to swim. You take one hand and cup it and put it in front of the other while you're kicking your legs, and you will have no problem. Now we press play and see how it goes. No, a person who can't swim, who's now in danger, doesn't need swimming lessons. He needs a rescue. He needs a person to come to where he is, to take him from the danger and bring him to a place of safety. He needs to be rescued. So he needs a rescuer. We might also say he needs to be saved. So he needs a Savior. Same thing would apply if someone was in a burning house, right? In a burning house and they're unable to get out, they need someone to come right to where they are, not to instruct them on the benefits of smoke alarms now. It's too late. They need someone to come right to where they are to remove them from the danger and put them in a place of safety. They would be the rescuer or the savior from that danger. A rescuer, a savior from drowning, a rescuer, a savior from burning. But we are preaching to you tonight, just like these angels were, a savior from sin. Now think with me for a second. Most of the people in Israel in those days were waiting for someone to save them from the Roman government, to free them from the oppression that they were under. They were looking for that kind of a political savior. But do you remember the name that they called him when he came into the world? Sure you do. It's the name that marked him throughout his entire life on earth. And it's the name that is still his in heaven, Jesus. And do you remember what that name means according to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. From their sins. You see, we are announcing to you tonight this same person. This same person who is the Savior from sins. I guess it would make sense at that point then to think about my own experience. Have I been rescued from sin? Have I been saved from sin? I find it very interesting, as you look at these accounts, the different people that made time and effort to come to the Lord Jesus. People who heard and they responded by coming to Christ. Those men, right? David was mentioning those men earlier. Those wise men who came from the east. They came from the east because they saw his star. And they came seeking Christ. Why? They had gotten light from heaven and they moved toward the light. They moved toward Christ. They made an effort to get to Jesus. These shepherds here now, they hear about him. And when they hear about him, they go in to the city. They go into the town. Why? Because when they heard the message, they responded by moving toward Jesus. I wonder if there's someone here tonight and you've never responded to the message by moving towards Jesus, by coming to him. You see, it's a very personal thing, this being saved from our sins. It's something that happens just between you and God when you personally come to the Lord Jesus. A savior from sins. I thank God that the message has never changed. He's still the savior from sins. But I want to think about one more phrase. Now, I've had you for 12 minutes. I'm going to keep you for four more. That's four less than you thought. Yeah. See how math works in my favor in this way. They came to Bethlehem. We are told here that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You'll understand, of course, that the one who was born in Bethlehem is the Son of God, and here he is in a manger. He is the king, born king. And instead of being in the palace in Jerusalem, here he is in Bethlehem in a stable where the cows are, the cattle. It's where he was. But it's not his poverty that I want to highlight for you from this verse. It's the attitude of the people when it says there was no room for him. They were full. They were full. Well, we know it was the time of the census, and we know that there were many people that were coming to the city of David, Bethlehem, and we know that all of the houses would have been filled. There might have even been people who were sleeping out in the streets. We know that it would have been full, but no room for him. No room for a pregnant lady who was about to give birth. It's rather insensitive, isn't it? But no room for him, the Savior of the world. Unless we are too hard on the people of Bethlehem, I want to apply it to us tonight. Do you have room for him? Well, I know your life is full. Mine is too. Can I tell you something, you younger ones? Your life is not going to get less busy. Your life's going to get more busy. You're not going to end up with less commitments. You're going to have more commitments. But right now, with all of the commitments you have, and with all of the family time you must spend, and with all of the work you must do, can I ask you this? Do you have room for him? There's a lot of different things I could say about the reasons that people don't come to Christ. But ultimately, it comes down to this. People who want God more than their sin will make room for him. No room at the inn. In my last minute, I just want to go over this one more time. Because tonight is a night where you can hear good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, that day, in the city of David, a Savior from sin, a Savior which is Christ the Lord. We'll pray again. Our Father, we are thankful that we are able to preach the message of forgiveness and hope in Christ. We are thankful for the glory that surrounds him, even in a stable. We are thankful, Father, for the glory that he had with thee before the world was. Now, Father, tonight we pray that we will allow the word of God to reach our conscience and to affect our hearts as we think about him and we think about our personal connection to him and whether we have one. We pray that there will be light from God for all of us. Bless the believers here who have put on this meal and this meeting. Bless everyone who has attended. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.